Thanks for joining us on KPUPLP Patagonia 100.5 FM, Community Talk. I'm your host, Julie Holding. Community Talk alternates weeks with Charlotte Lowe's show at the same time, 5 p.m. Sundays on KPUP, Patagonia Community Radio. Today, I'm pleased to have the chance to visit with Ernesto Portillo. With his 5 decades of involvement in Tucson radio, from working as a DJ to owning a number of Spanish language radio stations, Ernesto is known as an icon and pioneer of Tucson radio in Patagonia. Ernesto is also known as a good neighbor and friend. Welcome, Ernesto.
Julie, thank you. Thank you so much. I like the words that you use in Patagonia. I'm known as a good neighbor and as a good friend, and that's music to my ears.
Well, it is really just such an honor to have the chance to learn from you about radio, because when I was thinking about this show today, I have about as little experience in radio as it's possible to have, and you have the most experience in radio that it's possible to have. So I'm really looking forward to having the chance to ask you some questions. And the first question is, in all of your experience, what have you learned about the importance of a radio station serving a community?
I cannot see a separation between community and radio. To me, it's one in itself.
And how can a radio station best serve a community? To take it from what you just said, how is the radio station the community?
Well, I don't see the difference, Julie. In my own experience, and that's the only frame of reference that I have, the community owns a radio station like they used to own a newspaper in the olden days. It's one in itself. And I must say that Patagonia, it's very, very fortunate. We are very fortunate to have this way of communicating with each other, because here, if we didn't have that advantage, we would be strangers to one another. So, again, in reference to my experience, I would say that I cannot see myself operating a radio station if I'm not going to be entirely part of that community. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether I answer your question or not.
I'm thinking about in Patagonia's situation, where we have, fortunately, a new, very local newspaper that has just started, which will be once a month, the Patagonia Regional Times.
Wonderful.
A group of volunteers is working on that, and that's an important way for our community to communicate. But on a daily basis, the radio is really the only way that we in Patagonia can communicate with our whole community. And that, it seems that there might be somewhat of a parallel in that in the first Spanish language radio station that you worked with in Tucson, I understand that was the only way for the Spanish language based community to communicate at that time.
That was pretty much the essence, yes. Although in years past, before 1953, there was a local newspaper in Tucson, Spanish, would come out into the marketplace 3 or 4 times a week. And again, that was the source of communicating with one another. And Julie, before I forget, earlier, before going on the air, you used the word miracle as it pertains to this radio station being a reality. my compliments to those people responsible for making it a reality and continuing working it 24 hours a day. That is fantastic.
It is, and I think it's important to let all of our listeners know that that's entirely volunteer effort, entirely from the very beginning until now. It has been entirely volunteer, and that Will Hadley has put much of his own time and energy and resources into creating the station and doing a lot of the technical work for the station, along with Mark Nicholson, Bob Hutchins, and a number of other people. Cassina Farley is our president right now at the radio station, and these folks do an amazing job to be able to provide radio for a town so small.
My hat off to all those people. I have known Will Hadley for quite some time, and it's just amazing. It's amazing. And here again, the key word is community radio, one in itself.
Mm. How many communities around the country this small actually have a radio station? Is it very common for a community this small to have this asset?
Don't really know, Julie, but in the past, I would say 20, 25 years, the FCC allowed this concept to be a reality in rural areas primarily, so that they would have their own communication procedures and so on and so forth, because depending on out of town or out of state or out of the country in some instances, hearing what was going on in their communities, well, that was fine, but it's nothing like having your own vehicle to communicate with one another. So, no, I don't really know, Julie. For instance, in Tucson, which is a very big community, we have three community radio stations, two of them sitting within the University of Arizona, and the other one being something that also became a reality some 15, 20 years or so ago. And it's amazing how a community radio station survives in spite of having to be competing with 20 or 40 or so many other signals. It's amazing.
Well, and that must have to do with the dedication of people.
Absolutely.
Who want to be part of it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And what kinds of shows are being broadcast on those community radio stations in Tucson that we could be thinking about as a community here in Patagonia, taking those concepts and doing here, shows here?
I'm familiar with the two signals, three signals out of the University of Arizona, because I have been listening to them forever, both AMs and FMs. The other community radio station, again, I'm not familiar with that particular format that they have, but I know that it's live, it's local, it's Tucson people, Tucsonians speaking, talking to Tucsonians.
So then that could be a model here in Patagonia, that Patagonia people could create some new shows where Patagonia talks to Patagonia.
Absolutely. That's the essence of community radio.
And so have you been involved in interviewing, talk shows? What are the ways, what are the kinds of shows where Patagonia could talk to Patagonia?
To me, it's so very basic. It's like I'm talking to my next door neighbor or across the street or someone that I haven't met, but I would like to get acquainted with him or them. It's the essence of being neighbors and being informed as to what is going on in our community. And if there are problems, well, perhaps we can find a way how to become part of the solution. Mm-hmm. That's why I said in the beginning that I cannot see the separation between community and the radio station. It's one in itself. Some of our neighbors might contemplate being part of programming or volunteering for whatever needs they are, but it's again, it's the idea, the concept of talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. Let's maybe think a little bit about what it would take for someone who's listening, who may have had an idea of a show that they might want to do. What would it take for them to develop that into a concept for a show that could actually, that could be on the air?
Well, I can contemplate of the idea of the concept of someone listening to us right now, and maybe he or she or the young people at home saying, well, why don't we start a program with music specifically directed to young people, high school, for instance. And a young person listening to us might be able to come in and or call into the radio station and saying, I have an idea. And I have two or three people that might cooperate to do a program, and that's the beginning of the rest. It's just that particular individual, in regardless of the age bracket, it's up to him, to her, to them, to say, well, I'd love to do that. But they don't have to have the background, the experience, just the will, and the enthusiasm to be part of our community in a bigger way with through the radio station.
Mm-hmm. And is there any special training required?
Goodwill, I would say. This business of wanting to be part of a community, it's basic to all of us. You make reference to me as being a part-time resident of Patagonia, and you're right. And believe you me, I'm aiming to make it a full-time situation one of these days. But this is my home. And as such, I would hope that I can become much more part of it as time goes by.
Well, when I saw you walking into the radio station today, that's one of the things I thought of. How can we find a way to get you more involved in the radio station?
Oh, Julie. I would be so happy to be of service, that's all.
Wonderful. Well, I was talking with Will Hadley in getting ready for this interview today. And
I wonder if he's listening to us.
I hope so. He told me that up until the mid-90s, there was a license, a DJ license required for anyone to be on the air. Something along those lines. I'm not sure exactly what he said. But that it's very freeing for a small community like Patagonia to have the opportunity for anyone who's interested. And it, as you say, the only requirement is that they have goodwill. For anyone interested to be on the radio, it's very possible. And I can give my own example as kind of to illustrate that. It started with Charlotte Lowe and I visiting about the situation with newspapers, declining and the fact that Patagonia did not have very much media of any kind at one point, particularly prior to this Patagonia Regional Times getting started. And what can we do about that? And we just decided to check with KPUP and see if there might be an interest in having a show. And I would say that it's been wonderful to alternate weeks with Charlotte. She's a fabulous radio partner. We work together, we help each other, support each other, cover for each other if one of us is out of town or otherwise unable to be at the station. We've learned together how to do this, and Cassina Farley has been a fabulous teacher in that regard, and Cassina has let us know that we'll have the opportunity to help other people who are interested in starting shows learn about the technical side of things to actually go on the air, which is really not that complicated. So it's, as you say, it really is a very simple process to get on the air.
Well, especially with the kind of equipment that you have nowadays, it's simple at its best. And as far as FCC licenses is concerned, in the olden days, and probably nowadays as well, it used to have there was a need to have at least a third-class FCC license for one being at the transmitter site. And I'm talking about 1,000, 5,000 watts power. In the case of the low-power radio station, I don't think that there is any kind of FCC requirement. It's just, again, the desire to be of service and to be part in the overall community. And by the way, the news that you gave me about newspaper being published for Patagonia in Patagonia in the next future, that is wonderful, because one of the missing links that I'm behind all the time, as I come in every weekend, I need to know, I want to know what is going on in my community. And I used to pick up the newspaper from Nogales, not anymore, because that's for Nogales. Mm-hmm. What is going on in Tucson or Phoenix? Well, that's I want to know what is going on in every which way, and that's music to my ears.
And I should say that I think the plan is to publish the Patagonia Regional Times once a month.
Great.
And they were free around town and may still be available. I remember seeing stacks of them at the library, and I think I saw some at the Patagonia Market. And they came out just before the Fall Festival this year, and so they were being distributed at the Fall
Great.
Festival.
Great.
I don't know what the long-term plan for distribution for the Patagonia Regional Times is, but hopefully there are some still available that you could pick up this weekend.
Great.
I'm curious, what are the ingredients from your experience do you find that really make a successful radio show, a successful communication within the community?
Julie, I found throughout time that it was the people in the audience, population all over the place, they would tell us what is it that they liked, that they needed, that they wish for. And so we allowed ourselves to be guided by them. And if it was more public affairs or public service programs, that is what we used to do. If they didn't like the type of music that we were playing at that time, and they wanted to more of this or the other type, that's what we would do. We just followed their needs, their desires, their wants, and you just go according to their wishes.
So how did you really stay close to what those wishes were? Was it through the ad sales process, or did they just call the station when they had a strong opinion?
Thank you for asking that question. This business of the microphone and the telephone, they're amazing. I did a weekly program for some years, every Saturday, and it was open to the public, either in person and or by phone. And it's amazing the reaction that we would get, either positive or negative. It was an open mic, an open door policy. And the one thing that we need here is a microphone, a microphone and a telephone. And it's amazing getting a reaction from the people instantly. Mm-hmm. And then you can formulate what is it that that the station has to do to abide by, to comply, to please, to serve, mm-hmm. always to serve.
Mm-hmm. So when people would call in, when they would call in on the air, tell you their opinions.
In no uncertain terms, mm-hmm. whether I, that's it. This is mm-hmm. how they felt. That is really, like I said before, either talking to my next door neighbor or across the street or someone that I haven't gotten to know, I really like to sit down and visit with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that causes me to think that it may be an important priority for K-pop to try to figure out the technology for using the telephone and the microphone.
You have a very good in-house engineer.
Yes.
No problem. But that's to me, that would be the right way of being in touch with people.
Now, that must have generated some interesting stories from your experience of working in radio, or some surprising things that happened. Is there something that stands out that's a story from your years of radio?
Well, quite a few, but and again, the program used to be aired Saturdays at 12:15 to 1:30 or so, and our radio station was also a very modest building, 4 or 5 rooms, the control room, and then the waiting area. This particular afternoon, as I was visiting with my visitors, I suddenly saw the front door of the building opened, and people started streaming in. So what I did, being a big operation, a one-man operation, I put a record on, and I went up to the front door to see what was going on. Just people in the community came, "Hi, Mr. Ortega, hello." And I opened the door to the front, and this car stops right in front of the door. A big German Shepherd dog gets out of the car, and then from the front of the car, a gentleman walks out and says to me, "Hola, Portillo, how are you?" Cesar Chavez. Because he knew that this was a radio station open to the public, and he had a message.
And did he deliver the message
that day? Definitely.
Can you say?
I don't remember what the essence. It was in the days when he was being talked about all throughout the country because of the strike against grape mm-hmm. growers
in California.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Yes. That is one of the memories that I have. Another one is a fellow, Levi's white shirt, walking in, looking for someone, the owner of the station. At that time, Carlos McCormick, a very good friend of mine, and I said, "Well, I'm sorry, he's in Washington. Can I help you?" He says, "My name is Joseph Kennedy. This is the son, Bobby Kennedy's son, the attorney." And in Spanish, by the way.
Oh.
We had quite a few of those situations, but again, that was the the thinking of people in Tucson that this was their radio station. They needed something, they came to us.
And Tucson has always been a crossroads in many ways. And
Very much.
It sounds like the radio station was the core of the crossroads.
It became that way. It became that way. And not only locally, but internationally as well. We had the power to go all the way up into northern Sonora, and that was the essence of communicating with one another, whether it was neighbors in town or throughout the state and or across the line.
What can you say about how radio has changed from those days to today? It sounds like the core essence of radio may be the same, but are there changes that you've noticed?
The basic change, and again, probably those changes are within myself because of my age bracket. Number one, the number of radio stations has grown tremendously throughout the country. If, for instance, in Tucson, we had first one and then we had two Spanish radio stations at that time, now there's about 10 of them, seven, and four or five TV stations. And of course, in the English language, there must be at least 27, 28 or so. So it's becoming a really wide market, and that's because of the growth of the marketplace in itself. The changes that I see are basically in the format and the programming, the music. That's the most meaningful change that I see, Julie. I could not tell you.
Is that fewer DJs just
the opposite.
Oh, uh-huh.
More individuals involved, although some of those radio stations have their programming being fed in from different parts of the country. Automation, okay? Mm-hmm. So you have, in some of those people, in some of those formats, you have a less amount of individuals becoming involved live as you are right here.
And maybe this is a good time to explain to our listeners that at K-Pop we have 47,000 individual songs loaded in our media library.
Okay.
And we have computer software that can fairly randomly select within those songs for a particular, and I don't know the right word for this, but I think did you call it soft?
Softer sounds?
Kind of softer sounds, perhaps for morning or
certain
say,
times of day. Yes.
Certain times of day.
That's wonderful.
There can be softer sounds, maybe the afternoon, a little bit harder sound. So the folks that do the programming here at the station can make those changes over time with our music right here in our own media library.
Automation can be fantastic, and obviously this is what you're doing, as opposed to having someone live here 24 hours a day, which is very expensive.
So if there are people who are listening out there in the community who might be interested in starting a show, but who maybe don't feel that they have access to enough of their own music to bring into the station, they can know that with 47,000 songs already loaded, there may already be music here at the station that they would enjoy playing.
It's amazing what automation has been doing in everything in the phases of our lives. Since we're talking radio, I was familiar with the automated format when we established KXEW-FM, which now it's a very popular radio signal in Tucson, English, of course. 93.7. For a while, we were automated in the daytime, but then at sunset, we went live with DJs. Mm-hmm. The reason being is that our AM sister station, KXAW, was only daytime at that time. So the FM became the continuity of KXCW AM at night. And it's amazing what the DJs, started doing with the younger listening audience in a bilingual format. It was amazing. Mm. Music and the discussions that they had, news to some of us old-timers. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And you mentioned younger people, and I also want to just make sure that the younger people who are listening to this know that they are most welcome to come to the station. Last year, there was a group of high school girls who had a show two afternoons a week. I think it took place during their study hall. And they came over to the station and played music that they liked and talked on the radio. I don't know that has gotten started this year. I haven't heard that they've actually been on the air, but that's an opportunity if people are interested. Also, Felix CW had a show last year. He's a middle school student, mm-hmm. and we hope that he'll want to do another show this year. So we have some precedent for some young people being involved in radio in Patagonia, and we look forward to more.
You know, Julie, in that instance, I can tell you that I saw two or three situations where high school students that came to the station to do their specific program, 1 or 2 hours a week or whatever, it opened up a new access to the media world, and they became a tremendous success in their own right, and they went on to bigger things, not only in Tucson but throughout the country. It's amazing. This is a world that can be opened with your microphone here in Patagonia.
Mm. Well, and I could personally relate to that because I've never had any background or experience in radio, and to be able to just come to the station and get started. It is such an opportunity, and I don't think this would happen in other places, bigger communities. There'd be more competition. It would be much harder. Can you speak to that?
They would not have the time of day to give you. Absolutely. You want what? Forget it. This is a great opportunity, really.
Now, I'd also like to ask you a few questions about your choice of coming to Patagonia. 20 years ago, when you were looking around for a community, you chose Patagonia. And what was it about Patagonia that caused you?
Thank you for asking, Julie. Many years ago, while in the military, on a Sunday morning, two or three sergeants and myself were driving a military vehicle from Huachuca to Nogales. And we decided to have a little refreshment in this little town that I wasn't acquainted with. It was Patagonia. And I remember distinctly, in fact, as it turns out, the establishment that I'm talking about used to be located in those days, in 1956 or so, at where the service station is. I was impressed by it. And then we continued on our journey. Years later, I'm talking about 25, 30 or so years ago, my wife, Julieta, had a friend of hers, a co-worker with the educational system, who retired here in Patagonia. We came over to visit with them, and I saw and I liked. 20 years ago, I was looking for a little place where to get away from Tucson, and I was looking along the Santa Cruz River with friends, and then I found out that there was a little casita, a little house for sale, and that was heaven. It is my home, and I hope that I can spend the rest of my life here, God willing.
And so you've seen Patagonia go through a lot of changes since 1956. For those of us who haven't lived here anywhere near that long, can you describe some of those? What stands out in your mind?
Julie, the one thing that really stands out in my mind is that Patagonia continues being the same charming town that was forever. And, of course, I have been talking to some of my old-timer friends and reading as much as possible. The spirit in Patagonia doesn't change. The way of life does not change. I say that the fine old families that have been here for two or three or more generations, they are here because they love their community. And some of us newcomers, transplants, if you please, we're here because we want to join them, and we hope that we can continue maintaining the personality, the good life for a family life, without losing the quality and the charm that they have had, that they have maintained throughout the years. And that's why Patagonia is what it is, a very, very special community.
It's wonderful to hear you describe that. You are not the only one in your family who has a long history of being involved in the media. And I should also say, radio was not your only involvement with the media. You also wrote a column for the Tucson Citizen and the Arizona Daily Star, I understand.
Back in 1980, I was approached by the publisher of the Citizen to move into the direction of the written word, which I didn't have any experience with. But it was a challenge, and I spent like 20 years having a weekly column for the Citizen. Then 2 years later, after those 20 years went by, the Arizona Daily Star invited me to do something similar with them, and I did it happily. It was the extension of what I had been doing, visiting, talking to my listening audience and to my readers.
And so, were they opinion pieces, or?
Oh yes, very much opinion. Yes, very much.
And so, how do you start to write an opinion piece? Because there may be people in Patagonia who might be interested in doing that and coming onto the radio and offering opinion on the radio or in writing.
Well, living in your community, you know what is going on, you know what some of the problems are and the possibilities. And if you have an idea that might be of value to be considered, put it in writing or putting it in words and say, folks, why don't we consider doing this or that or the other, whether it's in reference to the social or the political or the financial. God knows that we have some of those problems nowadays. And if there's any sort of a community problem, maybe that idea can bring around some possible solutions. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to put yourself out there with your thinking, and possibly it's well received or not, and that's
But that's part of the community dialogue.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And that maybe is how a community sorts out what direction it wants to go.
Visiting, talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. So you have other family members who've been very involved in media. Would you like to share with our listeners a little bit about that?
When I was talking about KXCW-FM, which went live programming at night, my son, the oldest of the boys, Ernesto Jr., and another fellow, Raul Aguirre, they started their bilingual format at sunset till midnight. And it was an amazing impact that they made in the community, particularly in the high school age.
Were they in high school at the time?
No, they were already at the university mm-hmm. level. Mm-hmm. But it was amazing how they opened up ways of communicating with that audience within the Hispanic population that we were not really getting to. Mm-hmm. They did. So Ernesto has been spent a number of years doing that, and in later years he went into the written word, a newspaper. He went to primarily to San Diego Tribune for 15, 16 years, and he's been with the Arizona Daily Star for the past 10 years or so, and most recently he has been in charge of the Hispanic or bilingual format that they have every Friday, which is La Estrella de Tucson, an independent newspaper that comes within the Arizona Daily Star. So.
And he's also well known as a host of a show on KXCI.
Yes, thank you, yes. And again, this is totally volunteerism that he has been doing for a number of years. And he enjoys that very much. He knows his music.
I was interested in, I just have learned recently that some radio stations are streaming their shows live on the internet. And so
yes.
This afternoon, I decided to go to KXCI and uh-huh. see if Ernesto's show is now streaming live, and apparently it is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really mm-hmm. looking forward to being able to hear it. And up until now, we haven't been able to hear it in Patagonia.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that.
His program is every Wednesday between 6 to 8.
Okay. And all I did was Google KXCI, and
it's there.
Yeah, and the schedule was there, and I could see exactly when he was on, so very easy. Now, there's another major area that you've been involved in over the years, and that is as a tour guide.
You are a troublemaker, Julie.
Oh. Tell us about the tours that you do.
Well, some years ago, 32, 33 years ago, a group of people not having anything to do, they decided that they wanted to open up a group of visits to the Kino missions in northern Sonora. And when they brought up the idea to me, I said, "Are you out of your mind? What? I didn't know what I was talking about." It's been a fantastic adventure in being part of a group of docents that we developed through the years and visiting the Kino missions in Sonora. And basically it opens up, Julie, the missions to the new world, and you see them operating the way that they were established 300 years or so ago. Mm-hmm. Again, those communities like Patagonia, they're there, they're happy, they're living their lives and pretty much the way it was in the olden days. And when I try to describe what the mission tours are all about, I say to them, well, this is northern Sonora, just about 150 miles away from us, but a couple of hundred years, 200 years and more in terms of way of life. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. It's very hard for me to describe, but people that we have invited and taken over there from all over the country, they're just amazed. Mm-hmm.
And this has a real Patagonia connection because
you're talking about a certain lady.
Yes.
And her name is.
Well, I was thinking about the trip that you and Julieta.
Yes.
And Ernesto led for the Friends of the Patagonia Library.
Oh, okay, fine. Yes, yes.
Let's see, was that maybe six years ago? 5 years ago, something like that.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And so many people from Patagonia went on that tour.
Well, I thought you were going to be making reference to a certain lady that lives in the area, Leah Ward.
Oh, yes.
She was the troublemaker that started the mission tours.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you know.
And
when she approached me with the idea, my response was not out of your mind, but I said, Leah, estás loca? and lo and behold, it's a wonderful experience for anyone. Either those people that have visited Mexico, but the Kino missions are much different from going to the resorts and to the big places.
Very much so.
That's the real thing.
Yes. And if people are interested in learning more about that, the Southwest Mission Research Center.
Precisely.
In Tucson.
Yes.
Is the organization that sponsors these.
Yes.
And today I Googled Kino Mission Tours and it came right up.
Absolutely.
So it's easy to find on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And
you are highly organized.
Well, I've been so looking forward to this. It's been an opportunity for me to learn a number of things in preparation. So thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
And Julia, I want to thank you personally because in the past 2-3 weeks, you took me out of retirement and you brought me back to what is going on today in my community in Patagonia and your radio station. And I hope that one of these days we can continue doing a little something that we used to do because the feeling for who we are and what we can share and how we can be of assistance to others.
Wonderful. I look forward.
Gracias. Thank you, Julie.
I look forward to more of your involvement with K-POP.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.